Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. I'm trying to crack up the person sitting across from me, and that's the person I usually talk to on these podcasts. His name is Jonathan Strickland, and he is a senior writer here.
To get there, you follow Highway 58 going northeast out of the city, and it is a good highway and new.
All right. We're talking about numbers today.
Yes, we are. We're talking about getting to where you're going and getting diverted along the way. As of the recording of this podcast, which is in April of 2012, there is a story that's actually not a new story necessarily. It first started to kind of make the news way back in November of 2011, but it's kind of sort of bubbled up. And it's an operation that the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, has headed up. And it all involves hacking into the internet and messing around with internet traffic. It's called Operation Ghost Click.
That's a nice name. I always love hearing the operation names. It is a wacky doctor's game. So I think first, before we get into too much detail, we should probably talk about how internet traffic works. We've mentioned that on the podcast on a handful of occasions, I think. In fact, we got into the domain name system, DNS system. Servers.
Well, they're both.
Yeah.
Because DNS can mean both, but yes.
Right. So, yeah, we talked about it before. And basically, every website has an address, a physical address, on a hard drive, a physical hard drive somewhere. And these numbers, there are four sets of numbers separated by periods. Mm-hmm. And that address is unique to that space on that physical hard drive somewhere. And so if you typed in HTTP colon slash slash and this number you will get to a website. Of course, that's very inconvenient because then you either have to write down these numbers or bookmark them or, you know.
You have to have some sort of weird total recall thing going on where you can just easily remember any series of numbers, which would make you incredibly useful, but it would also make you very rare. Most of us are just not – it's not something humans are particularly good at doing on average. Mm-hmm. So that is what kind of gave rise to the idea of having this domain name system.
Yes.
Now, a domain name system, what it does is it allows you to create a domain name, as in words, mm-hmm. That correspond to whatever your site is. And then that itself is mapped to this series of numbers, this IP address.
Mm-hmm. Right. The IP being Internet Protocol.
Yes.
Which is the language that gets, you from one place to another on the Internet, regardless of whether you're using a Windows machine, Mac or Linux or a
right.
mobile thing, it gets you to the same place. And then what allows you to type in howstuffworks.com
yes.
and get to our website.
Yeah. So if you were to type howstuffworks.com, what happens is that request, what you're essentially doing is you're telling your browser, I want access to this particular website.
Mm-hmm.
Your browser sends this message along up a chain of command. Mm-hmm. And, it has to go out to the right computer that has the website living on it and retrieve that so that you get an instance of it back at your machine.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do that, it has to first map that. What needs to have is the name that you're typing in has to be mapped to that physical machine, that physical drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it does this by going through domain name servers. A domain name server is essentially like, think of it kind of like a phone book.
Yeah.
So that all the different URLs you could type in are indexed against these numerical addresses.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, once you type in the URL, it looks for the corresponding numeric address, pulls information from that particular source, and then serves it back to you
mm-hmm.
so that you get what you asked for. Well, that's...
You asked for it.
You got it. Anyway, so the whole deal here is that you are going to get the right information.
Yeah.
Assuming that everything's working correctly. And occasionally stuff messes up. There might be the computer that hosts the site might be down.
Mm-hmm.
In which case you're going to get something like a 404 error.
Yeah.
Because this internet is not going to be able to find the file that you've requested.
We're very sorry. The internet is broken.
Yes. The elders of the internet called and they said, no more internet for you. But most of the time it's going to work just fine. However, what happened in the case of Operation Ghost Click is that the FBI discovered there were some people who had created some rogue DNS servers. So in other words, these folks, six Estonian nationals, according to the FBI, got together and created these servers that acted just as a domain name server would.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, it had a collection of URLs, an index of URLs, and an index of addresses, numeric addresses.
So it was like a fake phone book.
Right, exactly. Some of the entries in this fake phone book went to different phone numbers. So instead,
not literally.
Yeah, but since we're sticking with the analogy, sticking with that analogy.
Just making
so
sure.
So instead of the official phone number for mm-hmm. a particular website, you would get a fake one. And it would, in other words, you would go to a fake numeric address for a real site. So you might type in the address perfect in your URL bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a random example. Let's just say Yahoo.
Okay.
So you do www.yahoo.com, you hit enter. Now, normally in a regular DNS server, it would look up that URL, look to see what the numeric address is for that URL, send that information out, retrieve the website, and serve it up to you.
Mm-hmm.
A rogue DNS server would look up that URL, look at the numeric address that was created for that URL, but it isn't actually the address for Yahoo. It's an address for something else.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it serves that up to you. Now, why would anyone do this? There are a couple different reasons. Now, in the case of the Estonians, they were doing something I think that was kind of deviously clever.
Yeah.
They were doing this in order to reroute traffic to rake in advertising money.
Yes.
So in other words, what they wanted to do was, the way advertising on the internet works in general is that you get paid for a certain number of views mm-hmm. of that ad. It's called impressions. The number of impressions an ad gets, that translates to money. And if you get lots and lots and lots of impressions, you get lots of money. And in general, a single impression is worth a fraction of a cent.
Yeah, but if you can say, hey, you know, I can promise you that 5 million people are going to see your ad, then you can command a good price for your services.
Right. So very popular websites can tend to charge more than sites that don't get a lot of traffic. It makes sense, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you have a billboard next to a busy highway. The price for that billboard to put an ad on that billboard is probably going to be higher than a billboard that's next to a rural road that doesn't get a lot of traffic.
Right.
So anyway, the same sort of logic applies on the web. So what these guys were doing, what these Estonians were doing, because I don't know their gender, they were using these rogue DNS servers to reroute traffic to go to different websites and that had specific ads on them that the Estonians were administering, and then they were pulling in the money. So they were redirecting traffic. It's like putting in a detour in your route. And so you're going down your normal route to get to wherever you're going, and you see a sign that says, oh, nope, the road is out up ahead. Take a right instead of going straight, and you will go through a different route. And along that route, you decide to stop and eat. And normally you would stop and eat at your favorite restaurant, but you can't get to that one because it's on the road that's been closed. So you go to this other restaurant, and it all turns out that it was a ploy by the other restaurant in the first place. They put that detour sign up because they wanted to get some more foot traffic or some more diners to come in. That was the general plan. Now, the question is, how do you get that rogue DNS server to get in the line of traffic so that people will visit it in the first place?
Yeah, because if you're typing in an address that you already know,
yeah.
Say discovery.com,
yeah.
You should theoretically be routed to the right place as long as your computer is configured correctly and,
right.
and your internet's working the way it's supposed to.
I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to go in and kick out the legitimate DNS machine and replace it? No. It was very clever. They created a kind of malware.
Mm-hmm.
And the malware is essentially called DNS Changer. And so
that's clever.
DNS Changer would change the DNS settings on your computer or other device or even router. Which was particularly nasty because if it changed on the router, then any device that connects through that router would be affected.
Also, it's unlikely that you're going to have antivirus software on your router.
Right.
Although you might on your computer.
Now, the way that they did this with the router was the easiest way. And it's the easiest way for someone to prevent it from happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
The way that worked on the router was that they just ended up using a list of generic usernames and passwords that are that tend to be administered over various routers. So you pick a router, like whatever router you happen to use.
Mm-hmm.
That router tends to have a standard username and standard password that you are supposed to change once you install it into your home network.
Right.
But a lot of people never get around to doing that. They install the router, and then they don't bother changing the username and password, which means that anyone who knows what the standard username and password is for that brand of router could get access to that network.
Yep.
That's what they were doing in this case. But in order to change the computers themselves, not the router, what they had to do was convince people to download some malware and execute that. Now,
there social engineering.
Yeah, lots of different ways of doing that. Yeah, you know, there's the very standard way where they include they put on a website that you might encounter a little pop-up that says, "Hey, your antivirus software is out of date. Install this, and we will scan your computer for viruses." And
for free.
Yeah, for free. And in fact, it really is a virus itself that installs to your computer. You know, mm-hmm. you think you are trying to head off. Some sort of malware, and in fact, you're actually installing malware to your computer at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be through email attachments. You know, all the standard ways that malware propagates across the web.
Yeah.
Any of that would work to get this particular kind of malware onto your machine.
Mm-hmm.
Once you installed it, whether it was through a Trojan program or whatever, it would go and reset the DNS settings on your computer. And it would direct your computer to go to these rogue DNS servers as opposed to your internet service provider's DNS servers. Because each ISP has its own, right, that passes the information up along the chain of command. So you would bypass your ISP's servers. You would go to these rogue servers, and then you would be directed to whatever website they wanted to direct you to for any particular URL. Mm-hmm. For some URLs, you might just get the regular website. You're sent along and nothing bad happens. For other URLs, you might be directed to a site that looks very similar to the one you wanted, but something isn't quite right. And it tends that, again, they were just doing it for the advertising money. The scary thing is they could have done this for any other reason and actually tried to steal stuff directly from the user.
Yes.
Now, in this case, that doesn't seem to be what they were up to. They were up to just redirecting that traffic. So you might think, well, that's annoying. I mean, I'm not going to get to the website I want to go to unless I type in the actual numeric address physically. Then I would go to it. But while it's annoying that I wouldn't go to the site that I wanted to go to, at least they're not stealing from me.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have. They could have directed things so that you would go to dummy websites that look similar to official ones and put in a system where you type in your username and password, and they would log it. They could have logged it. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They could have logged that information, thus getting access to various accounts across the internet. They could have gotten access to email accounts, bank accounts, you know, any other sort of anything that would require authorization. They could have done that. And what would probably have happened is that you would have logged in. Let's say that you try to go to your bank's online banking site, and you might get a site that looks very much like your bank's site. In fact, it might even look almost identical. The address might look a little hinky, but if you were to type in your username and password, likely you would get a response saying, oh, the site's down for maintenance. But what's really happened is that that information has been logged by hackers. So that could have happened. Or they could have directed you to a site where you would have been encouraged to download even more malware, perhaps a backdoor access program so that your computer would become part of a botnet or any other kind of hacking tool. It's really the options are pretty much unlimited. Now, in this case, again, it was just to redirect traffic. However, there were some other problems that would happen if you were affected by this virus. You might not, you know, you might not have anyone stealing from your bank account or anything, but one of the things the virus does, which is pretty much standard operating procedure for viruses, is it turned off the features on your operating system and your antivirus from updating so that you wouldn't be able to get the latest security patches that would prevent this program from working.
Yeah.
So first step pretty much of any malware is let's disable the stuff that can turn this off.
Right.
So anything that would automatically turn the malware off was disabled. So that's a problem because it means that even if you aren't being actively preyed upon by these particular hackers, future attacks could hit you much more easily because you are no longer protected.
Yeah.
Which is pretty bad.
Yep.
That's what we call a bad thing in internet security.
Yep. And there were about, 4 million people around the world in about 100 countries that were affected by this.
Yeah,
around 500,000 in the United States.
And it wasn't just citizen users. It was also businesses, government computers.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were even like a couple of computers over at NASA that were affected by this.
I saw that NASA was affected.
And the good news that we have is that the FBI arrested these 6 Estonian nationals that were identified as being part of this, running this ring.
Yeah, they were going to try to have them extradited to the United States.
Yeah, and they've also taken over the rogue DNS servers they have identified as being part of this. And those rogue DNS servers are now acting like legitimate DNS servers, which is great. That means that as a user, when you try to visit a website, you should get what you're supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a problem. Because your computer is still have, if you're affected, your computer still is directing you to the wrong set of servers. You're still getting the right result, but you're not going to the regular chain of command that you should go to. And the FBI is not going to be running these servers forever. And in fact, in July of 2012, they're going to turn them off. And once those turn off, if your computer is being directed to those DNS servers, you may not have any more web access, at least not through typing in a normal URL, because your computer is going to try and go through a pathway that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
So the important thing to do is to determine whether or not your computer has this infection. And if it does have the infection, to clear it up. And first one's easier than the second one.
Yeah, the FBI actually set up a website designed to help you identify whether or not you have been affected.
Yes. You can go to the FBI's website and follow the links to find out about whether or not your computer has this problem. And there's actually a couple different ways of doing it. They've set up a URL where what it does is it pings a server, and if it gets a positive result saying that you're fine, you get a screen that has this big green icon on it and says, you're good. If you're not fine, you get a big red icon, which says, this is saying that it's going through one of the rogue DNS servers.
Mm-hmm.
They've also identified a range of the IP addresses that, you can check your DNS settings on your computer yourself. If you're using a Windows machine, you go to a run command and you type in ipconfig/all, and then that'll pull up your DNS settings, and you can see what the numeric address is for the server that you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And if it falls within the range that's been identified by the FBI, you know that your DNS settings are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Clearing this up and getting rid of the malware is a little tricky. The easiest way I can think of to do it, if I were doing it myself, is going to a computer that I know has not been affected and downloading the latest antivirus software I can find and putting most of them have an option where you can put a version of that onto a thumb drive.
Yeah.
Do that. Then take the thumb drive over to the infected machine and boot it into safe mode and load up the antivirus software from the thumb drive. And that should be able, depending upon the antivirus software, it should be able to scan it and remove it.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI also points to several web assets that can help you if your computer does appear to be one of the ones infected. And those may work very well for you. I tend to go with the antivirus approach whenever I can. I don't know. It's just, I just have a preference for that as opposed to going like a web-based route.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is fairly easy to get rid of the problem in this case. It's not like some of the others where you have to, reformat your hard drive to get it back.
Yeah. I mean,
which is nice.
There's some, depending on how tech savvy you are, it's pretty easy. If you're not terribly tech savvy, it may be worth it to take it to a computer professional to have them scan it and remove it and take care of it for you. Because the more you mess with your computer settings, the more you may inadvertently cause some problems that can turn your machine into a nightmare. And sometimes, depending on the malware, like if you've had this on your computer for a while, mm-hmm. that might not be the only malware that's affecting you.
That's possible.
You might have other problems, in which case, a simple scan and remove may not be enough. In a worst case scenario, you might have to do something like wipe your computer and reinstall the operating system.
Oh yeah.
In which case, the first thing you want to do is back up as much of your data as you possibly can. And then you do the wipe. But that, even that is, I mean, that's like a worst case scenario type of thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully none of our listeners are in that. Well, first of all, hopefully none of our listeners have been affected by this malware. But if they have, hopefully it's not so severe and they don't have other forms of malware that they can't, take care of it themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, it's always a good idea to back up your hard drive on a regular basis anyway,
always,
just to make sure that
– always back up your hard drive.
To make sure that you have a version of your operating system installed on there that you can go back to that you know is not infected, at least hopefully.
Yeah.
So – but that's pretty impressive. I mean, the FBI has really been promoting the fact that they had this success in taking down, or apparent success, I should say, in taking down this ring because this is pretty significant. They took away traffic from legitimate websites in addition to making money for themselves with the alternate fake websites.
Yeah,
and it does expose the fact that most people are you know, still having to think about what they do because they may very well be letting somebody in. It could have been a lot worse than it was.
Yeah. Exploiting the DNS system, which again, I know, redundant ATM machine, exploiting that PIN number, was pretty ingenious. You know, you essentially, it just shows that understanding how the internet works and building this parallel system that exploits the way internet works was very clever. Now, of course, it still depended upon user behavior to work, because if no one had downloaded the malware, if no one had installed the malware, it wouldn't have nothing would have happened. You would have had these rogue DNS servers that would be online and would be ready to redirect traffic to wherever they wanted it to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if no one downloaded the malware, the traffic would never have been redirected. So really, the other lesson to take away from this is just practice good internet security rules of thumb. Things like don't open strange attachments from in random emails. Make sure you ask people if they've sent you an attachment. Ask them, like, did you really send this to me? Because sometimes people, their email address gets compromised and they randomly start sending out files to people, often in uncharacteristically worded ways. Like, you might read a message and think either my friend is taken a terrible fall and decided to email me immediately afterward, or is under the influence of some powerful alcohol, or it just doesn't make any sense. Like, you read it and you're like, this doesn't sound like Chris.
Yeah.
Chris never emails me in all caps with lots of letters missing.
Send this to everyone you know.
Right. Bill Gates will give you 25 cents for every email that you forward. Yeah. Anyway, don't open those email attachments.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And you know what? I've recently realized every once in a while I'll find a story that I want to send to somebody. And I've realized as I was sending it, I'd say, hey, I just saw this. You should check it out. You know what? That sounds just like something a spammer would write.
Right, right.
So I try to make it
a little more personal,
a little bit more personal, so that for one thing, the spam filter will on a lot of these services will pull it right out of there if it's something that minimal. So
yeah, if it fits that pattern of hey, I saw this, check it out, and then it can fall into the spam filter pretty easily. So also, it doesn't just go with attachments.
No.
Or
links.
There are links. Plenty of links are problems. But think about, I've seen this so many times on Facebook. Clickjacking on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if you've ever gone on Facebook, I'm sure most of you have. Anyone who's had a Facebook account long enough has seen this happen with their friends. You'll look and there'll be some video link. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll say it won't be an embedded video, so it's not something that plays within Facebook, but you'll see like a link to some incredible video, and it usually has to do with either violence or sex. Those tend to be the two big ones.
Imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. You go for those base instincts that we humans have, and you get a lot of results, which is kind of a sad commentary, but that's a different podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's you'll see this link, and I saw one recently. And immediately I was like, the red flag went up as soon as I saw it. First of all, mm-hmm. I was like, this doesn't seem like the kind of thing this person would have shared.
Right.
Like they might have clicked on a link, but it doesn't seem like something they would have themselves shared. And it was supposedly a video about Justin Bieber being stabbed at a concert. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, this has clickjacking written all over it. And immediately I went to one of my favorite references for this sort of thing, Snopes.com.
Mm-hmm.
So Snopes is all about urban legends, but they also look at things like internet hoaxes and clickjacking. And I did a quick search, and sure enough, this is something that's been around for a while, and it's just like a lot of other clickjacking. It has these cycles that it goes through where you'll have an initial pop-up of this, and then it dies down, and then it'll pop up again, and it'll do that three or four times.
Yeah, current events are often – yeah, and I mean it's – you'll find some of these that have lasted for years that basically they don't necessarily have to be about Justin Bieber, for example.
Right.
That may be the –
The clickjack du jour.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or, 5 years ago it could have been about – for example, Britney Spears.
Yeah, that would be a very popular one.
And or Jennifer Aniston or somebody that's in the news right that moment.
Yeah, and it tends to be like or it'll be like
or a news
this news anchor had an embarrassing moment on the news. Click to find out.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. And what happens is if you do click that, you'll get a message that essentially says usually something like you need to install this extension or you need to install this video player in order to watch this video. And if you allow it, then it gets access to things like your Facebook feed.
Yeah.
And as well as possibly other stuff. It may involve other, kinds of malware. But in general, you see this get propagated across Facebook where someone who has fallen for the trick agrees to it and then it continues to go across Facebook because it starts to use that person's feed. So whenever I see one of these, here's what I do, guys. I immediately, I see something that raises a red flag like that. First, what I do is I do a search on Google for whatever the video supposedly shows because 9 times out of 10, it's just completely made up. And you can usually find an article written on it or it'll be on Snopes or something like that where it'll say, this new Facebook scam is going around, so watch out for it. Once I have confirmed that it's a scam, I go back to Facebook and I comment on the entry and I say, hey, it looks like this is a clickjacking attempt. You may want to go and change your Facebook password and delete this post.
Yeah.
Because by deleting the post, you're going to help remove that step for other people to fall victim to that same problem. So I do that fairly regularly because I've got a lot of friends on Facebook and this sort of thing can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
It's, and it's not necessarily something that's sort of, either appealing to violence or sex. Sometimes it's something that's just interesting and it has nothing to do with any of those more base subject matter
right.
things. And also, I mean, in general, when there's a link in Facebook, if it's a link in Facebook, I tend to go to Google anyway and try and get to that link without going through Facebook, because you never know when it's a clickjacking attempt. If it's an embedded video within Facebook, like a YouTube video that's been embedded in Facebook, something like that, I'm all right with that. I'll watch it that way. But for links, I tend to go outside of Facebook to do it, just to be on the safe side, which I'm sure Facebook hates.
Oh, probably.
That's not what Facebook wants to hear. But until
they want to track you.
Right. Until there's better security around that so that I'm not throwing caution to the wind and infecting my computer, I can't justify it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my own personal approach, guys. I'm sure all of you probably have your own sort of way of dealing with this and avoiding problems, but it's always something that's good to keep in mind. Anyway, so if you guys suspect that you might have this DNS changer malware on your computer, go to the FBI's website, use their tool, first of all, to see if you get a result back.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get a result back, you're probably okay, not necessarily okay. You can pull up that list of addresses that do map to these rogue servers and go through your computer settings and confirm it that way.
Warning, rogue servers.
Yeah. So just check your computers. Make sure you're fine. Because if you're not fine, then once the FBI turns these servers off, you may have some problems accessing stuff over the web. And then you're thinking, what the heck happened? And the real nasty part about not being able to access the web is not being able to access why you can't access the web. I've had that happen. Where I'm like, did I not pay my internet bill? Is my router down? I don't know how to check because I can't look anything up. Yes, I'm that guy. Anyway, so do you have anything else you want to add about this?
Not really, no.
Not really, no. So let us wrap this up. Guys, if you have any suggestions for future topics on Tech Stuff Podcast, you can let us know through email. That address is techstuff@discovery.com, or you let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both those social networks is TechStuff, HSW. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.